Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Najee Harris, if people didn't see the video, when he came out of the tunnel before the game Sunday, he gave Colts fans the middle finger. He gave them the double bird action. Both hands, middle finger extended out as he came out of the tunnel. Colts players saw it, got pissed off about it, and much like the Juju Smith-Schuster dancing on the logo thing, seemed to be offended by it and motivated by it. That's what Zaire Franklin, the Colts linebacker, and the other guy who said that's BS in the clip you heard was EJ Speed, who Donnie gave his number one game ball to in Sunday's game. How many tackles did he have again, Donnie? 30?
13.
I mean, the guy was all over the place. 13. Okay. So they're getting on Najee's case. Franklin then came out and called Najee soft after the game. The final stats for Harris were 13 rushing attempts for 19 yards. More crap like this. I'm just going to throw this question out there for people. Are there any Najee Harris apologists left? Are there still Steelers fans out there that want to make excuses for him and say it's the offense's fault or it's the offensive line's fault or they don't call the right plays for him? And he's a good player who's just miscast here, that he's misunderstood, that Steelers fans take him for granted, or the team made a mistake not picking up his fifth-year option. I will open up the phone lines and give those people a platform to give the opposite opinion of what you're going to hear from me at 412-928-9370. One of my biggest pet peeves in sports as a fan is when guys talk trash and then don't back it up. It's entertainment. I like it when guys do it, and it works, a la Joey Porter. No offense, Malzi.
Why would I take offense?
Because he wanted to fight you.
So what? I'm not a hater. I can admit he was a great player who talked trash.
And so those guys who go out there and back it up, Hines Ward did a little bit of that too.
Anthony Smith is the bad example of it.
Yes. Okay, you're going to go into Indy, and you're going to rev everybody up by giving them the middle finger. If some pedestrian-ass running back, if freaking Rico Dowdle came out of the tunnel at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday and flipped off every Steeler fan and then went out there to put up 19 yards on 13 carries, we would make fun of that friggin' guy until the cows came home. He would go down and, like, infamy. Oh, yeah, remember that game against the Cowboys where some jabroni running back came in here and, like, tried to get, like, punk us and make fun of us before the game started and got after us and then went out there and played like an absolute chump? That's what we'd say about it.
I mean, people still make fun of, like, Lendale White for stomping the terrible towel. Anybody who's ever done that.
That was after a win, by the way, by the Titans. Not before a game started where a guy went out and had 19 yards and averaged 1.5 yards a carry.
But then did the curse not eventually rear around and bite them? People love that. People love any chance they get to lord one over on an athlete.
I'm still pissed that Mike Mitchell was barking at Leonard Fournette and trying to get him agitated before that Jaguars playoff game. In 2017.
Didn't he open the door to their locker room or stand outside it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I hate when guys that talk the talk but can't walk the walk, when they do stuff like this. If Antonio Brown in his prime wanted to moon Colts fans, I probably would have been fine with it. Because I know the dude could go out there and get you 150 yards and three touchdowns. This guy never, he averages 3 yards a carry is what he does in his career.
I mean,
he's been a garden variety running back.
This stuff is not like to the point for me where I get livid about it or anything else. I think it's just another reminder that drafting him was a mistake. Drafting him where they did was a huge mistake. Not picking up the fifth year option is one of the only smart things they've done. It feels like he is a relic from what is now fast becoming a bygone era. I know there are still a lot of Colbert-drafted players on the list here, on the team. But Kevin's last two or three years, I would say, were filled with very uninspiring picks. Maybe if I wanted to be a little less charitable, I could even go back further, starting with the Terrell Edmonds draft. And he's just a large example of what went wrong. They prioritized, like, quick Band-Aid fixes. Let's get Ben some weapons instead of drafting offensive linemen and starting that rebuild. So when I see Najee Harris, I don't think of maybe this individual moment, Pony. But your question was, are you just kind of tired of this guy? Like, he's just wearing out your patience? That happened a long time ago, and everything that happens with him subsequent to it just adds on to the pile.
The pro Najee Harris people said, look out this year. The man's on a mission. He didn't get that fifth-year option. Here comes Kyle Brandt's angry runs from Najee. Ooh, look out. He's got zero touchdowns in four games. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. If you project out his 17-game stat line, he's not going to make it to 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. And the sad thing about it is, I'm usually the person that's making an argument for the backup to get more playing time than him. For Sunday, I don't have that leg to stand on. Patterson's probably not going to play, and Warren's not going to play.
Both DNPs.
So it all falls on his shoulders.
Not Champlin?
Not the Harvard grad, no. Although maybe, who knows with guys that are undrafted running backs.
He had 5 yards in his only carry.
Maybe I shouldn't be so dismissive, because guys do come out of nowhere at that position all the time. It's another matchup where, on paper, it should be great for him. It should be an awesome one for him. Cowboys defense is missing Micah Parsons and Lawrence. Derrick Henry ate them for breakfast. Alvin Kamara had 4 touchdowns the first game of the season. Going into week 4 games, they were the worst run defense in the entire NFL. Now, they did better against the Giants, but it's a defense that's ripe for the picking.
We said that about Indy, though.
I know.
And what did Najee give you?
He had probably his worst game of his career outside of that screen pass that he caught.
1.5 yards per carry. I just still remain convinced he's not a good fit for how they want to block this up. They want to do this zone blocking that Arthur Smith has done at every port of call. And I don't think Najee Harris has the vision to execute that scheme. So I think you end up with a lot of, like, the difference so much better, or have looked so much better with Cordero Patterson is simple. He knows where the hole is going to be, and he's there when he's supposed to be there. And in Najee Harris's case, it just does not feel like that at all.
I mean, what are the film guys saying about this? Are they trying to make excuses for him?
The film guys I'm seeing are actually, like, thinking he's being done wrong. Yes.
Oh, my God. How? Why? What are they, like, the offensive
They're
line?
They're claiming that there are plays where it seems like the advanced stats community thinks that there's a hole there, and then they put on the all-22 and say, where's the hole? But then how do you explain Patterson? Like, really, they're just blocking it up that much better for Cordero Patterson?
They like Patterson that much more. Oh, Najee's in the game. Let's not give him a hole. Oh, wait, here comes the
returner
who's built like a defensive tackle.
No, Najee's in the game. Here comes a code red. I mean, Najee is – I can't even say he's more explosive than Patterson, because when Patterson gets the ball, he looks more explosive. But they seem to be saying that, like, I've seen bad scheme fit, i.e. Najee's just a power scheme blocking scheme runner. I've seen the advanced people just aren't right here. there's nothing for him to run to. But I've seen it enough, man. We're not talking about a guy either through four games of a career after, like, him. He was drafted this year in the first round, Pony. This is going to be game number 56 for his career. The one thing you could say about him is that he's always healthy. He's played 55 out of 55.
How many 100-yard games does he have?
I'll find it right now. I want you to guess.
I'm going to say 7.
Donnie, how many games of 100 yards or better on the ground do you think Najee Harris has? 55 games in the NFL.
I wasn't even going to go that high. I was going to go like 5 or 6. I'll go 5.
What was Pony's number?
7.
He has 6. 188 against Cleveland back in 2022, so the end of the 21 season because it was January
3rd. Yeah, the last game of the year.
122 against Denver in a win. 122 against Seattle. That was a really good, an objectively good game for him last year. 112 against Baltimore the following week. Again, given the conditions, very good game for him. And then when they beat Baltimore in early January of 2023, so the end of the 2022 season, he had a buckle. I'm sorry, one more after that. 105 in the Detroit tie, the famed Mason Rudolph throws the ball a bajillion times game. Now, he's gotten to 99 a couple times, and he's got a bunch of games above 90, Pony. But I just think the one stat for him that continues to drive it home is the yards per attempt for his career. He just, when he takes the ball, he is going to get less than 4 yards. And 4 yards is like your baseline number for is this a successful running play or not for a team. This guy, in his career, you give him the ball, you're getting 3.9. Not good enough. 22nd pick in a draft? Not even close to good enough.
Donnie, what are your thoughts on him flipping off fans and acting like he's going to go in there and wreak havoc on the Colts Sunday?
So I used to hate stuff like that. That's something that doesn't bother me a ton because I don't know. I mean, you compare it to Juju. I oddly don't make that as the comparison. Like, okay, like he individually did it himself, but it was as the team was coming out onto the field. Like the Juju thing was more like I have to get this video up on my TikTok before kickoff or else
I agree with that.
My brand's going to take a hit.
I
also, it's going to be an odd take here. Given how the league is no longer like guys hate each other, I wish we had more stuff like this. I wish we had more stuff that made guys pissed off a little bit and made them not like each other. Like they're not all best friends and it's jersey exchange time after the game.
Do you like it when bad players incite stuff?
I mean, no, it looks bad when that's the case. But
I mean, when Tom Brady comes out and says, I'm going to go right after Anthony Smith because their safety play sucks, okay, he can say that. He's the GOAT. He's the
Anthony
greatest
Smith
quarterback
be going
of all
there
time.
Saying, like, I'm going to be the Tom Brady stopper.
And I hate to say this, but I put Najee Harris more in that category than I do.
Of course you would.
Great quarterback. I mean, I've said this now a few different places. There are going to be running backs that get picked in March, in April's draft, that go in rounds 5 through 7, who are every bit the running back, if not better than him. Like, Chris, you've said before, Kenny Pickett's a third-round quarterback. Najee Harris, to me, is a 6th or 7th round running back. He has nothing distinguishes him or sets him apart as a great player.
No burst. I mean, he's
durability is the only thing that you've been able to come up with. He plays every
durability.
Week. Cool.
But I think he turns potentially longer runs into shorter ones. I think his vision is very bad. That was like the big thing early in his career. Just the all-22 crowd, the film crowd would cut up plays and say, man, what is he seeing? I just think he is a guy who is entirely reliant on his blocking. If you are opening straight ahead holes.
But we're seeing holes for him, and he's not even making anything.
I'm saying like if the hole opens exactly where the hole is supposed to open, he'll run through it. But if there's any vision or reading of the blocks required, he's not going to do it. You know what he has a 100 rating in? Wanting to hurdle, desire to leap into the air. Can we stop doing that too?
But you said there that he needs the hole. My biggest complaint about him a couple years ago was that Warren would get that hole, and he'd hit the hole, and Najee would tap dance and take his time and not burst right through it. So I don't even think he makes the most of those opportunities, to be blunt. Let's hear Arthur Smith on this, Donnie. I know he talked about why their run game was able to find success with Patterson and not Najee Harris. Here's what the Steelers offensive coordinator had to say about that.
Last week, some of the things they were doing. They brought a little more pressure than they have. They had been bringing in a lot of edge pressure. And people change it up. That's the game plan. Dallas do the same thing. They'll have something for us. I didn't think we were as clean early in the run game. I thought as the game wore down, really the backed-up drive and CP happened to be in there. There's usually an adjustment that happens depending on how the game starts, and I thought we got rolling there. We've got a strong commitment to the run game. Clearly, Najee has been the lead carrier so far as the season. As you get going in this thing, you know, as you're mixing and matching all linemen, you know, there's a rhythm to the run game as well. And you saw probably in the Charter game, right, you can see in sync. But that's something that obviously we're continuing to work through, just like you do every year. And we need to be cleaner, definitely earlier in the game.
No answer there. I mean, he just rattled off a bunch of things to try to get through the question. He did not answer specifically why Patterson was able to find success in Najee.
Well, because you know why? Because I think he knows there's a defined reason. Cordero, at the very least, fits my system better and is a better back in my system. Somebody, what's the argument against that? You'd say, well, Cordero can't handle 15 carries a game. He's in his like mid-30s, basically. Okay. Figure out what the max number of carries is you can get Cordero Patterson until you start to feel like diminishing returns are going to creep in, and get him that number. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not joking about that, and especially until Jaylen Warren gets healthy, which feels like it still might be a while.
I honestly think Sunday's the most annoyed I've ever been by him, by Najee. If you add everything up, their other running backs get injured. It's a bad run defense. They're really counting on him. He upped the ante by ticking these guys off with the middle finger before the game. Like, here's an opportunity for you to be the star and to be the bell cow and to be the catalyst and be the star player and all those things. And it was
nothing.
Probably the worst we've ever seen from him, man.
Yeah, I mean, he...
And he's snarky after the game about it, and I don't know. The whole thing just rubs me the wrong way.
I just don't think it's a good look for a guy that was a first-round pick that the head coach, and the head coach clearly figured this out on his own and took steps to remedy it. But the head coach thought this guy was going to be like the alpha dog personality in that locker room and like define their offense. Almost like, hey, don't worry, we drafted Kenny Pickett, but he just needs to go out and play football. Najee's the leader? And then... he took that all that stuff away from him because none of his behavior off the field or the way he'd address the media matched up with the team captain. Cam Hayward, to like his enormous credit, when things aren't always going well, he stands there and answers questions.
You know what? I'm happy you said that.
Najee just doesn't handle adversity well, and there's plenty of it when you play like he does.
I'm happy you said the thing about the captain. I'm not trying to come off as like an old fuddy-duddy or someone that clutches pearls or anything like that, but I can guarantee you Cam Hayward and TJ Watt would not come out of a huddle in a place like Indianapolis and give fans the middle finger. They just would not do that. That's something that's just beneath them. To me, that's such like an immature, sophomoric thing to do.
There's just no reason.
Just go do your job,
look at,
man.
Okay, so obviously the Colts players took note of it when it happened, I'm assuming, right? Like those guys had to have seen it in the moment.
Yeah, because they showed it on the Jumbotron there.
Okay. What do we know about the way Mike Tomlin, when he was dapping the Colts up and saying, hey, those guys put on their uniforms and collect paychecks, he said, well, they just came out flying. Gee, I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that they saw the running back here flipping the double birds and that might have motivated them.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.